This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. Time now to get you ready for Ohio State and Virginia Tech week two of the college football season for the Buckeyes. And to do that, we bring in the expert from BuckNuts.com, our good buddy Steve Hellwagon. Steve, thanks for making time for us. And quickly, a look back at last week, a win by the Buckeyes in which they dominated in the second half after struggling in the first half. What did we learn from last week's win over Navy?
Well, we learned that it's not a machine. These are actual real people out there playing football, and that there are going to be some growing pains when you put a redshirt freshman out there, you know, to play offensive line or quarterback or any of these positions. There's going to be some mistakes that are made. There were breakdowns on the offensive line. The quarterback threw an ill-advised interception on the goal line, and defensively they really struggled when it was time to go against the triple option offense. They really struggled. So, you know, you think about all this, add it all together, and it was what you'd expect. I mean, Navy makes you play left-handed. They play a style with the triple option that you don't normally get to see very often, but the Buckeyes weathered the storm, got through it in the second half. They got a defensive touchdown to kind of turn the momentum in the game. Joey Bosa hit the Navy quarterback, forcing a bad pitch. And Darren Lee, who was a redshirt freshman making his first start, picked it up and went 61 yards for a touchdown. And that kind of settled everything down. JT Barrett, the redshirt freshman quarterback, he ended up throwing for 227 yards and two touchdowns and also ran for 50 yards. And the offense and the defense in the second half really, really dictated things for Navy. And the Buckeyes were able to get out of there with a 34-17 win. It certainly didn't feel like a 17-point win, but that's what it was in the final analysis, as the Buckeyes dominated pretty much from the middle of the third quarter on.
In hearing Urban Meyer during his conference call this week and reading on your site at BuckNuts.com, they didn't spend much time looking at that videotape because you normally don't face the flex bone or the triple option that much defensively. So you throw that out the window, right? So you don't even worry about looking at that for this week's game against Virginia Tech, which is going to be more balanced of pass and run, correct?
Definitely. I mean, you don't play the triple option teams very often. I mean, Georgia Tech does it, Army, maybe Air Force and Navy. I mean, there just aren't many of them out there. So really, it's a style of play that you hardly ever see. They spent 8 months working on their pass defense, and hopefully that's what you're going to see, is improved pass defense out of the Buckeyes this week as they take on more of a spread or pro-style type team. Actually, this team probably favors more of a West Coast offense than anything. So I think it's going to be more attuned to what the Buckeyes are used to playing against in the Big Ten and their other non-conference games. And I think the Buckeyes, it'll be interesting to see how the defense has made the improvement from when we last saw them. And we're getting gashed by Michigan and Michigan State and Clemson in those last three games last year. Will it be interesting to see if the defense is truly much better going into 2014?
Yeah, it's almost as if the defense really hasn't played a game because they weren't tested in their pass defense, which was their biggest weakness. So who needs to step up in the pass defense this week, Steve, as they go up against a Virginia Tech team that isn't ranked, but it's still a pretty good football team under Frank Beamer? It's Beamer ball. You know, you're going to get, solid offense, solid defense, great special teams play. So give me an idea defensively going up against this offense and their quarterback, Michael Brewer, what they're going to have to do.
You talk about, again, Virginia Tech has been the dominant team in the ACC up until about 2 years ago when they kind of made the tag and Florida State finally got back on top of the conference here. Prior to that, it was basically Virginia Tech's conference. They'd won it four of the seven previous years. And Frank Beamer, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, over 270 wins already in his career, 28 years now at Virginia Tech. Their track record's pretty much spoken, although the last 2 years they've just been 15 and 11 combined the last 2 years. So this is the kind of game that Virginia Tech is really looking forward to and pinning its hopes on. This is a game going on the road to beat an Ohio State team that's top 10 or thereabouts in the polls would maybe put them back on the national map at Virginia Tech. And obviously they'd have tough games down the line within their conference if they make it to play Florida State or whoever later on. So Michael Brewer, their quarterback, is a transfer from Texas Tech. And he comes in. He got beaten out for the job at Texas Tech. He's got 2 years of eligibility left, so the Buckeyes could potentially play against him tomorrow as well as next year when they're going to play on Labor Day evening, a game down in Blacksburg, Virginia, Ohio State's first trip down there. So the Buckeye defense is going to be challenged. I think that's what we can start with. In the first game against William & Mary, Virginia Tech had 8 guys run the ball and 10 guys catch passes. They won that game 34-9 over an FCS team, William & Mary. And Brewer was very efficient, very effective, 23 of 30 for 251 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a tip pass interception. It all starts up front for the Ohio State defense. They need Joey Bosa, Michael Bennett, Adolphus Washington, the 3 mainstays, to really play great football up front and set the tone. The linebackers, the jury remains out on them. How are they going to play against a team that can run the ball and throw the ball? Curtis Grant, Darren Lee, and Josh Perry, those are the 3 starters there. And then the secondary, you're young, but will they be effective? Talking about, obviously, Durian Grant, the 1 mainstay at corner. The other side looks like it's Eli Apple will be the starter over there. And then at the safety positions, Von Bell and Tyvus Powell, they're going to be tested time and time again by this fleet of Virginia Tech playmakers. So from 1 through 11, there's challenges for each of these Ohio State defensive players, and we're going to see against what I think is going to be a pretty good Virginia Tech team by the end of the year, how they match up.
Steve, is there one playmaker that Buckeye fans and the Buckeye defense need to be aware of wherever he's at on the field on offense?
Yeah, well, I mean, they had 10 different guys catch passes, so it's kind of hard to pick out one guy when they spread it around and play so many players. But a freshman running back, Shy McKenzie, he got in the game in the second half and had 9 carries for 106 yards with a 39-yard touchdown. One of the older running backs on the team, J.C. Coleman, he had a fumble, and he's kind of been pushed down the pecking order a little bit by a couple of incoming freshmen, McKenzie and another guy, Marshawn Williams. They both are in the 220-pound range. And let's just see how these true freshmen fare against the Ohio State defense. I think the Buckeyes will want to play physical, obviously, and try and force some turnovers against Virginia Tech. And let's just see how these guys, none of whom have got a lot of experience for Virginia Tech, but seem like they're capable of making plays. Let's just see how they fare against this Ohio State defense.
JT Barrett, to me, Steve, last week, he didn't start great, but he played solid throughout the entire game. It didn't look like the situation was too big for him as a redshirt freshman. That's a good sign, but now it's a different animal. It's a Virginia Tech team, a 4-3 defense. What's going to be different for him this week in facing the Hokies versus the midshipmen from last week?
Well, I think you're going to see a team with Virginia Tech that their defensive coordinator, Bud Foster, is one of the legendary assistant coaches, you know, here in the modern era of college football, with the success that he's had as the coordinator there working with Frank Beamer. They've been together, this staff, a very long time, and the defense has kind of been the backbone of their success. Although, you know, they did have the Vic brothers and different people have come through there at times on offense that have been good stars, but they usually have an All-American or 2 over on defense, and they've had some Thorpe Award winners over the years. I think that their defensive line is going to try and make things rough on Barrett. Luther Maddy is a quality defensive tackle. We'll see how the Ohio State interior lineman, who really didn't play all that well last week, the center Boren and the guards Elf line, on one side, you know, we'll see how they play. They love to blitz and bring a lot of pressure. Chase Williams was in the backfield quite a bit. The linebacker, he forced a fumble that was nearly a defensive touchdown for Virginia Tech last week. So look for him, number 36, in your program quite a bit in the course of this game. He's going to be in the backfield. And then they returned all 4 starters of the secondary, talking about Kendall Fuller, a guy who they think could be their next Thorpe Award winner at cornerback. He had an amazing pass breakup in the game that I watched him against William & Mary last week, and 6 interceptions last year. He had three interceptions in one game last season, so he's a guy that's got a high ceiling and you know, could be that guy for them down the line. So they got some guys on the defensive side of the football. They are going to throw the kitchen sink at the youngster JT Barrett. It's going to be on him to make recognitions at the line of scrimmage and get them out of bad plays and get them into plays where they can still get 4 or 5 yards against a stacked defense, and that's going to be the key to the game. The Buckeyes did a good job by committee last week running the ball. Elliott, Curtis Samuel did some nice things, and as we said, Barrett had 50 yards on his own. I want to see which one of those guys really steps up. We haven't found the heir apparent, I don't think, to Carlos Hyde just yet, but maybe with 4 or 5 guys sharing that load, that they'll still get the job done.
Dontre Wilson last week, I think, touched it 13, 14 times, either via pass, running the football, or on returns. Do they need to feature him more and make him their go-to guy on offense, or is Urban okay doing this by committee at wide receiver and at running back?
I think it's by committee, although I would say that Dontre Wilson should be the chairman of the committee because, as we said, he piled up the yards last week between the returns. He had a 38-yard catch mixed in there that got him down toward the goal line once. He had a 35-yard return one time. He's a guy that can break it at a moment's notice, and they got to find ways to get the ball in his hands, as well as Jalen Marshall. We saw him in action for the first time last week, and because he redshirted last year, and I think those two guys need to get a preponderance of the touches, you know, as many as they can get. You know, there's no such thing as too many touches for those two guys, and I think those two guys and Samuel have got that game-breaking ability that Urban Meyer, his offenses just feed on. You know, this really is, you know, people talk about the spread and the zone read. This really is a running offense. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Even when they bring Wilson and Marshall in motion and just flip them the ball, it goes down the stats as a pass play because the quarterback has flipped the ball forward. But in reality, that's the same as a reverse, same as if you just handed it to him on a reverse. So I think that the Buckeyes have got to get those plays blocked and hit a couple of those plays to really, really flip the field position in their favor. But, yeah, Dontre Wilson, I agree with you. I would like to see more of him starting with the game tomorrow.
Steve, the game within the game, obviously you want to win it. That's first and foremost. But also, this is a huge recruiting weekend for Ohio State. Under the Lights, national TV game, and all the big-time recruits are coming in. So what are they doing as far as pulling out all the stops to impress these recruits besides just winning the game?
Well, widely publicized that LeBron James will be there, and I think that means a lot. They'll have several top prospects in on official visits where attending the game will be just one part of their entire time on campus. They'll get to spend time with the players after the game, obviously, and be with the team during their team meal and their preparation, going to the hotel tonight and spend some time with the coaches. But according to my stats I see here on 24/7 Sports, they will have 7 of the nation's top 100 players on campus this weekend for either unofficial or official visits, plus a number of key prospects for 2016 as well. So this is one of the biggest recruiting weekends I can recall for Ohio State for a home game, maybe some past Michigan or USC or Texas games. They've done something like this, but this is about as big as it gets. The number one player in the country, Josh Sweat, a defensive end, I believe out of the state of Virginia, is going to be there as well. So very critical to put the best foot forward, and I think they will, with a stadium record expected 108,000 at the game against Virginia Tech.
Yeah, with the new seats, and I saw Urban Meyer say prime time is our time. It should make for a great atmosphere in Columbus on Saturday night. All right, Steve Hellwagon, give me your prediction on game number 2 for the Buckeyes against Virginia Tech.
I think we're looking at another great game. I think that the Ohio State defense is going to have to this is their time to make their stand. Ohio State's had substandard defense for – three or four years now, and it's time to make the move back toward respectability. I think Virginia Tech's got a very nice offensive team led by a promising quarterback in Brewer, but this is a game where Ohio State's got to win it up front and change the tempo and change the game up front, force some turnovers, and I'm interested to see how that goes. I think the Buckeyes are going to make some plays, and maybe a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown will ease everything and help JT Barrett get comfortable, obviously playing in front of 108,000 people, most of them Ohio State partisans, should help that as well. I've got a 31-17 Ohio State over the Hokies Saturday night at the Shoe.
Great insight, as always, from Steve Hellwagon at 24/7 Sports and Bucknuts.com, and one of the greatest pages you'll find, chock full of information, the game day data page on Bucknuts.com. I've been reading it for years, Steve. It's my favorite page on the website. You guys do a bang-up job. Keep up the good work. Thanks for making time for me, as you always do, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, Ken. Take care.
Steve Hellwagon from Bucknuts.com. I say it all the time. If you're a Buckeye fan and you've never been to the site, what the hell is wrong with you? Go to Bucknuts.com, and we hope you enjoyed the Roto Report with Steve. And it was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444. Or you can check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, Columbus, keep it real and go Buckeyes.